directs it wherever he pleases. Wherever he pleases. Wherever he pleases. Because he loves you. Lord, thank you that you are bigger than me, no better than me, and don't give me what I wish for. Instead, you put desires in my heart to pray over, to ask your will be done, not mine. Because what you want for me is far better than what I want for myself. Lord, guide us, direct us as those streams of water today. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Thank you, guys. That was beautiful. Before you sit back down, or if you have already, that's fine. Just want you to turn and give a word of encouragement to somebody sitting close to you today. We'll be right back. Good morning again. Fellowship is great, but if I can invite you back to your seat so that we can continue on with our service. I do want to reiterate for you that because of the cake auction next week, we're going to be having how many services? One service next Sunday. That's next Sunday only, and then we go back to our regular two services. But next Sunday, how many services? What time? 10 o'clock. Okay. So everybody here's had the word. Youth, how many services next week? Come on, guys. How many services next week? One. What time? You know what? Your parents have never heard y'all this quiet at home, okay? One service, 10 o'clock next week. Okay. Also, just want to let you know, I don't know if the guys covered it second service as well as they did first service. If you have $2 and you want to come sit at the table and put in your $2 with somebody else's $20 and somebody else's $100, that is great. You don't have to come and buy a $250 cake by yourself. That's why we put you together at tables so that y'all can just... The number one thing is have fun as we're sending kids to camp. And so thank you guys for considering that. How many services next week? What time?
Yeah.
Okay, good. Those of us who consider this home, who this is our refuge. This is a place that we get to serve the body of Christ. It's also the place that we get to bring our tithes and offerings. And a tithe is 10% of our income. Our offering is whatever above and beyond that. And so it is our privilege, it's our honor to give unto the Lord what He has already given to us. It's out of faith that we give. It's out of honoring Him. And so let us receive our tithes and offerings.
Those of you I haven't had a chance to meet yet, my name is Andy, and I have the privilege of being pastor here, but at this time, I'm on the sidelines due to a back surgery. 10 days ago, I had a level 2 back fusion, and I just want to take you just a few minutes and update you on how my recovery is going. To be honest with you, I had no idea how painful it would be. At various moments, in various hours, it has overwhelmed me with pain I've never experienced before. But in the same token, there have been God's grace to heal me so quickly. And I walked 2/3 of a mile yesterday. I sat up yesterday for 3 hours. And I know that every day I'm getting stronger, and it's God's hand that's on my life. I do believe that there's a reason for this season, that He is doing something in me, a deep, deep work that is connected to the future of our church. And I also believe that He has scheduled certain speakers to fill the pulpit while I am gone and to make deposits in you. And I don't understand all of it. To be honest with you, there have been times I have cried out, "How long, O God?" But just as many times I've been walking around this house with my hands lifted in praise, because God has been so good to love me through you guys and through His Spirit. And I have felt loved by Him and by so many of you. And I just want to tell you, I'm okay. And it won't be long and I'll be back. And God has great things for the next chapter of my life, and I believe for the next chapter of the life of Christ Chapel in Robbins. By the way, if you want to catch some regular updates, just check out my Facebook page. I'm doing video recordings there. And may God bless you. And I know today is going to be an absolute outrageous day in God's house. Bless you today. I'm so excited about introducing our speaker this morning. 16 and a half years ago, my wife and I came to Christ Chapel in Macon. And we had been sort of wounded in the will of God. And as ministers, Christ Chapel became a safe place for us. We were able to work out frustrations in our faith, even doubts and fears. And God used the church to strengthen our marriage. And as a result of that, we've had 16 fruitful years of ministry. Christ Chapel, Warner Robins, has that desire to be a place for broken and wounded people to find healing here, and especially ministers. Over the last few years, we've had a lot of ministers who have made their way here ready to give up on ministry, or having been beaten up so bad in the church they were hurt. And this morning, the gentleman who's going to speak to you, his name is Willie. He and his wife Nicole came about a year ago, and they have become great friends of ours, Patty and I. And he has one of those stories where God has used our church at just the right time to be a safe place for him to be restored and to be ready for the next chapter of his life, whatever that looks like. So without any further ado, would you give a warm Christ Chapel 1 Robbins welcome to Willie Tabor this morning?
If you will, just lift up the baskets, please. We pray. God, we thank you. Lord, you have been so faithful to us. Lord, as we give right now what we've given out of the abundance that you have given us, Lord, we pray that you will bless it. God, we pray that you will use it to further your kingdom here in Middle Georgia and around the world. God, thank you for the opportunity to be here this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you, guys. Hey. How y'all doing? As Andy said, my name is Willie Tabor. For those of you that I've not been able to meet yet, I'm the guy that's the glare in the second row down here every week. And I have been given the privilege to be able to speak to you guys this morning just to share my heart with you and to share a little bit of my story. And before we really get into that, I want you to know that when I say that it's a privilege to be here this morning, that I am not just extending some professional courtesy. I truly mean it from the bottom of my heart that it is an honor to be here and to be on the stage this morning. For those of you that know me personally, you know that there was, as Andy alluded to, that there have been some tough times in my life. There has been a time when I didn't know if the Lord would ever allow me to preach again. I didn't know if he would ever allow me to teach again or to even share again. So when I say that it is an honor to be up here this morning, I mean it. God is good. He is a God of second chances. God is faithful. He is a God of peace. He is a God of love. He is a God of restoration. Did y'all hear that? God is good. The other thing that I want to tell you this morning is that I don't know what reason you had in your mind for coming to this place today. Maybe this is where your girlfriend or boyfriend comes. Maybe this is where the person goes that you're stalking. I don't know. But what I can tell you is that I believe that every one of us in this building today and on this campus are here by divine appointment. God has a word for each and every one of us today. There are some hard things that I have to share, and man, he's so gracious. He got me through the first service, and I'm just praying that he'll get me through this one. So if you will, just pray with me really quick. Lord, again, we just confess that you are good. God, we don't understand a lot of things that happen in our lives, but God, I know that you use them. God, I pray that today, as I share some things that are really painful in my flesh, for the first time ever, God, I pray that you would just get my flesh out of the way. Holy Spirit, I pray that you would just move, and I pray that our hearts will hear you, God, and we will allow you to move in the way that you want to move today. God, we love you and we praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Throughout my life, my decisions have been based on the need for approval. Can you turn those lights down just a little bit? For the need for approval and the need for success. I grew up in an abusive home, verbally, mentally, physically. To say that my father is an alcoholic and that our family is extremely dysfunctional would be gross understatements. And I say that with respect and honor and love for my parents. I will honor them until the day that I die. But I am just telling the truth and how it is, so you guys understand where I come from. And because of that family situation and because of some other things that were going on in my life when I was growing up, there was not a day in my life that I didn't feel like I was useless, that I didn't feel like I was worthless, that I was made to feel like nobody could care about me and that I wasn't good enough for anybody to love me. There were times when I locked myself in my room for days at a time, just in this deep, deep state of pain and depression, and it seemed like nobody noticed. It seemed like nobody cared. When I was a teenager, this drive for success and this drive for the approval of people really began to develop. And by my early 20s, it had completely taken over my life. When right after my 21st birthday, I started a company. I started a business, and I was determined to be somebody. I was determined to be somebody that somebody loved, that somebody respected, to be somebody in this world. Business was my life. Success, it was my joy. I was very ambitious. I was very hardworking. Ethics, integrity were not my strong suit. It was a thrill for me to meet challenges head on, and not just to meet them, man, but to plow right through them. I was a hardcore atheist. There was no God. I was in complete control of my life and my future. I approached business, life for that matter, with a take-no-prisoners attitude. And anybody that came up against my plans or what I wanted were dealt with pretty rough. Bottom line is, I didn't let anything stand between me and my goals. I would use whatever means necessary to come out on top of a situation, whether it was lying, whether it was cheating, whether it was stealing, whether it was bribing. I cannot tell you how many jobs I bought from companies. Or if it was just flat out manipulation, I was going to come out on top of whatever it was. My company was, as you can imagine, it was basically an overnight success. It just exploded, and shortly after I started it, I was bought out by a large company out of Alabama. As part of the buyout agreement, I went on with their company as an executive, and the only thing that I had to do was make sure that my clients were happy, make sure that my employees were happy, and make sure that my contractors were happy. And as soon as that transition was done, I was set and I was gone. Success was mine. I had done it. I made more money than I ever imagined I could. And it just kept coming and coming and coming. Within the next year, not only did I decide to stay with this company, but I actually bought it out. Became the owner of that corporation. I was 23 years old. 23 years old and on top of the world. On top of the world. I had reached every goal that I had ever set for myself. It was an awesome feeling for me to know that I was at a place in life where, man, millions and millions of people spent their lives trying to reach. As the money poured in, it was never enough. Never. It was never enough. I always needed more. I always had to have more than everybody else. I had to have more stuff, more expensive things, more flashy things. That is what made me better than everybody else. At least in my mind. People were nothing to me. They were nothing. People were these disposable things that were only good for making me money, making me feel good, and making me look good. And when I was done with them, they were thrown away. the next few years of my life was basically a rock and roll lifestyle. Consisted of money, endless parties. My life consisted of a list of addictions and this ever-increasing feeling of confusion and hate and hopelessness. Here I was at the exact point that I wanted to be in my life, and I hated it. I hated my life. I felt like I was incapable of actually loving someone. I felt like I was incapable of love, and I knew that many things that I had done to people in my life were completely unforgivable. I was lost. I was hopeless. I was confused. Every day for me was a struggle against suicide. Every day. After an overdose that landed me in ICU for a while, after a stay in the hospital, after a short stint in a rehab type deal, I finally figured out that I was never going to break the cycle. That I was never going to be able to be free of the addictions and the torment that was my reality on a daily basis. It was at that point that I decided to end my life. It was the only way I could see. It was the only way I could see to be free from the pain and from the addictions and from the weight that I was carrying every day. Being the type of person that I was, what I did is I set a date that I wanted to take my life. I wanted to do it a certain way, and I wanted to do certain things. And so I set the date for a week away. I laid out my plans for that week. I stuck to them. I wanted to do little simple things. I wanted to ride a bike. I wanted to walk my dog. I wanted to talk to my parents one more time. I wanted to climb a tree. I just wanted to do anything that I could just to feel something again, because I had become so numb to life, just emotionally numb. When the day arrived, it was business as usual. I was having no second thoughts. In fact, I was actually looking forward to the peace that I was about to have. I was sitting on my couch, and I finished the last thing that was on my list. I had my cell phone in my hand, and I put it on the coffee table in front of me, and I stood up, and I went to walk into my kitchen, where I had already laid out what I was going to do to take my life. And as soon as I went to take, I put my left foot down. As soon as I put my left foot down to take that first step, my cell phone rang. And I can't tell you exactly what was going through my mind at that point. But I do know that there was just something in me that felt like I needed to answer that phone. I was younger then, so I could see the caller ID from standing up. I didn't have to get down there. But I didn't recognize the number. Man, but there was just something in me that said, Willie, you've got to answer this phone. And so I reached down and I picked it up. And I can only imagine what I sounded like. I mean, I was mad. I was hateful. I was seconds away from ending my life. And whoever's calling me is interrupting my plans. And I really don't know how I sounded, but I'm sure it wasn't good. But as soon as I got done with my hello, you know, whatever I said, man, this guy on the other end just lit into me. I mean, he started talking 100 miles a minute. It was like every second for him was, he was making it count. And all of a sudden, I hear this guy, and he's like, hey, Willie, this is so-and-so from so-and-so church, and it's very unusual for me to be in on a Saturday, but I'm sitting here at my desk, and I saw your business card sitting here, and I felt like I needed to call you. Is there something you want to talk about? I got to be honest with you, man. I at first, I was mad. Yeah. I was like, who is watching me? Who is seeing what I'm about to do? And why did they call this guy? As soon as I realized that there was nobody, no human watching me, all of a sudden, man, I just got this really, really, really good feeling. I didn't know what it was. I know what it is now. John 6:44 says that the Father draws us, that he invites us. And, It was at that point that God was just beginning this process of drawing me in, where he was about to invite me into this crazy place of intimacy with him. Again, at that point, I didn't know what it was, but all I knew is that it was really good. Long story short, I went to that pastor's office that day, and he walked me through scripture, and he walked me through my life. This guy didn't know anything about me. He didn't know me. He didn't know what I'd been through or where I'd been or what I even did. He was like 5 years younger than me. He was like 20 years old, and he's a pastor. He didn't know anything about life, right? Yet he knew everything. He knew everything about me. One of the scriptures that he hit me with almost as soon as I got there was Mark 8:36, and it says, "What will it profit a man to gain the whole world and yet forfeit his soul?" Because that is exactly what I had done. I was exactly where I wanted to be in life. I was on top of the world. I could buy anything that I wanted. I could go any place that I wanted within reason. I mean, I wasn't like Warren Buffett or anything, but I could do whatever I wanted to. Yet I had sold myself for that. I had given away my soul. It was at that point that I realized the reality of Jesus Christ. That I realized that not only is there a God, but there is a God who loves me. And there is a God who wants me. And there is a God who has been seeking me out. I also realized that everything that had happened in my life had brought me to this one moment in time. That God had been seeking after me for a long time, but I refused to acknowledge him, and I refused to see it. But not this day. Not that day. November the 7th, 2003, I walked into that pastor's office, a filthy, morally bankrupt, suicidal addict. I walked out a hopeful, clean, redeemed child of God. I walked into that pastor's office a slave to money and to power and to lust and to alcohol and to cocaine, and I walked out a slave to Jesus Christ. No rehab, no relapses, no withdrawals by the work of the Holy Spirit in that room that day and in me. Never went back again. Never went back again. Praise God. God is good. It wasn't long before God's call on my life was obvious. I committed my life to ministry. I shut down my company. I walked away from the money. I walked away from the stuff. And I went to seminary. And since then, man, the Lord has allowed me to experience a lot of different stuff. He's allowed me to work in several different churches. He's allowed me to pastor a church plant. I've seen a lot of lives changed. I've seen addictions broken. I've seen marriages restored. I mean, I've seen a lot of people just fall in love with Jesus Christ. God has allowed me to be a part of a lot of really awesome stuff that he was doing. But there was always something that just kind of held back. There was always something that just felt really ugly and dirty about me. There was always something that just because of my past, I felt like I had to do things to make people love me. This part of me that still kind of felt like a second-rate citizen. Felt like I had to prove my worth to people, and sometimes I even equated that over into my relationship with God. But I just kept on trucking along. I knew what it was. I knew what was causing this, but honestly, I just didn't want to deal with it. Can I tell you right now that God wins? God wins. Every time. If we are a Christ follower, The Bible is clear that he refines us and he perfects our faith. 1 Peter 1, 6 and 7, listen to this. It says, in this you greatly rejoice, even though now for a little while, if necessary, you have been distressed by various trials, so that the proof of your faith, which is more precious than gold, and gold is perishable, even though your faith is tested by fire, that it may be found to result in praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ. He refines us. Psalm 66, verse 10 says this. Listen to this, man. This is crazy. For you, O God, have tested us. You have refined us as silver is refined. You brought us into the net. You laid affliction on our backs. You have caused men to ride over our heads. We went through fire and we went through water, but you brought us into rich fulfillment. He refines us. He perfects our faith. And sometimes, honestly, this process of refining is really easy. Sometimes the Lord says, Willie, I want this. And I say, here you go. Right? And sometimes I say, I don't think so. This is mine. This is mine. This is private. You can't have it. And that when that happens, that process of refining gets really, really messy. Because those things that we are holding on to in our lives, they become strongholds. They become strongholds that the enemy uses to work through, that Satan and his workers, demons, literally, they come in and they work through those strongholds. And those strongholds have power over us. They have power over our lives. They have power over our decisions. Gets really messy sometimes. It took, for me, a series of really, really bad events to bring me to a place, and as Andy stated, one of those events was the failure of my church plant, to bring me to a place where I could truly see the stronghold that I had allowed in my life and to truly give that stronghold over to the Lord, to give that area of my life over to the Lord. God led me into a place of complete humility and complete brokenness so that he could take the pieces and begin to put them back together the way that he wanted them to be. So that he could begin to restore me. So that he could build me back up. And for the first time in my life, and I just want you to know that today is the first day that I have ever spoken publicly about this. When I reached that point for the first time in my life, I cried out to God in my pain, in my despair, begging him to forgive me for not giving this over to him earlier. And I went to my wife and I confided in her, the first person I'd ever told in my life, a secret that I had been holding on to for almost 30 years. A secret that I swore to myself I would never tell another living human being. A secret that I swore to myself I would take to the grave because it hurt too much to admit it. It hurt too much to think about it, much less to have to tell somebody. The secret that I was so afraid that people were going to use against me. That's the secret of the sexual abuse that I endured when I was young. And the hatred I had for the people that did it to me. I was ashamed of what I had experienced. I was ashamed of what I had been through, and I hated them. kid. I was a pastor. I had been a Christ follower for years, and I hated them. And I was ashamed. I felt abnormal. I felt dirty. I felt ugly. I felt like I had done something wrong. I felt like I had caused this thing to happen to me. I felt like it was my fault. And I was so afraid of what would happen. I was so afraid of what would happen if people found out. Man, what would they think about me? What would they say about me? What would they do? I want you to understand something. As a pastor, as a Christian, I truly believed that there was no sin that God couldn't cover. And I truly believe that there was no person that was beyond God's love. I preached it. I taught it. I tried to live it. And yet for this one specific group of people, I wanted them to burn in hell forever for what they had done to me. And I didn't want anybody to know anything about any of it. Kind of stop right here for just a second. If you're in the room this morning, if you're hearing my voice, whatever means, and you understand exactly what I'm talking about, I want you to know this. It's not your fault. It is not your fault. If somebody has mistreated you, if somebody has abused you, if somebody has treated you in an inappropriate way, it is not your fault, and you are not alone. And you know what? Nobody is going to judge you for what somebody else has done to you. I'm going to take it a step further. If you are the person who is on the opposite end of that abusive relationship, if you are the person who is inflicting some type of hurt or pain on somebody else, can I tell you that you don't have to continue to do that? Can I tell you that God loves you? And that it is not too late for you. 1 John 1:9 says that if we will confess our sins, that God is faithful and he is just. And he will, oh my goodness, that he will cleanse us from all wickedness. There is nobody that is beyond God's love. As soon as I got really honest about where I was, the pain that I was going through, the healing began. And God just, he began to build me back up. He began to speak life into me. When I got honest and I cried out to him, he began to speak into my heart. He began to speak into my life. He began to speak into my mind about what he really thought about me. And about how special I am in his eyes and about how much he loved me. But not just me. Not just me. You. You. You see, I had to come to a place of complete and total forgiveness and love for those people that had hurt me. And I had to come to a place where I was completely unashamed of what had happened to me in my life. And I had to come to this place where I was completely unashamed of my God who saved me from that, who restored me, who redeemed me, who set me apart for his work. His purposes. Can I tell you today that I'm there? Can I tell you today that I have forgiven and I continue to forgive sometimes, many times per day? I continue to forgive and I love and I continue to love. I can stand up here today and tell you that this group of people that inflicted this pain on me, that I love them and that I want the best for them and that I want them to know that God loves them and he loves them so much that he died for them just like he died for me. If you have your Bibles, go ahead and turn to Ephesians chapter 2. If you'll allow me over the next few minutes, I just want to encourage you with a scripture that the Lord has really used to speak into my life. When you're there, say, yep. If you're not there, say, uh-uh. Well, you better hurry up. Just kidding. Ephesians 2:10, New Living Translation. For we are God's masterpiece. He has created us anew in Christ Jesus so we can do what? So we can do the good things that He planned for us a long time ago. As I first looked at this verse and continued to look at it, man, there are two phrases that just hit me, continue to hit me, and I continue to find myself lost just trying to reach out the truth that is in them. The first phrase is God's masterpiece. The second phrase is that He planned for us a long time ago. God's masterpiece. When you dig into this verse, you see that the word that He uses there for masterpiece is the word poiema. Poiema. You know what that word means? It's a product. It's something that is made. And it has this idea behind it of something that is fabricated by hands. Okay? In the context of this verse, it means that we are something that God has made. Some translations say workmanship. One translation even says work of art. Do you know that word poiema? That's the word where we get our word poem from. And poetry. Have you ever thought about yourself that way? Have you ever thought about the fact that you were God's masterpiece? That you are a piece of divine poetry? I think that too many times we look in the mirror and we think the complete opposite about ourselves. Instead of a poem, instead of poetry, what we see are a bunch of jumbled up letters and a bunch of jumbled up words that just don't seem to make any sense, right? Instead of seeing how good we are in God's eyes, we see all the failures, we see all the wrinkles, we see all the mistakes, we see all the rejections in our life. We see a person who isn't good enough. We see a person that just doesn't seem to fit in at school or at work. We see a person that just isn't where they should be in their life. And the whole time we miss the fact that we are God's masterpiece. And that He is forming us. And that He is shaping us with His hands. When we dig just a little bit farther, and I'm almost done. Jimmy, if you want to, if you're here. Okay, maybe not. Yeah, there he is. As we dig just a little bit farther into this passage, there's a really long Greek word in here that I'm not going to bore you with for planned for us long ago. And it has this idea behind it of ordained. Well, one translation says prepared beforehand, and that's exactly what it means. It means that a long time ago, God planned for you to do some things. Before you were ever born, before you were ever thought of here, God had planned for you to do some things. I want us to think about this verse for just a minute. Think about the things that, as we've unwrapped here this morning. You're a piece of art. You are a masterpiece. You were created in Jesus Christ to do what? To do good works. What kind of good works? Good works that He planned for you to do a long time ago. So not only is God making a masterpiece out of you, He is equipping you with everything that you need to do the things that He has planned for you. Does that make sense? Tell me in that statement and in that verse, where is the room in that for inadequacy? Where is the room in that for fear? Where is the room in that verse and that truth for shame? Or comparing myself to somebody else? There is none. There is none. There is no room in that verse for that. It's crazy. This verse is crazy. To steal a phrase from Andy, since he's not here this morning, it is scandalous. It's a scandal. It really is. In every situation and with every breath that we take, God is shaping us to be completely prepared, to be completely equipped for the things that He has for us to do. Are you kidding me? And He's not preparing you for the things that He has for your neighbor to do. He is not preparing you for the things that He has your spouse to do. He is not preparing for the things that He has for your pastor or your friend to do. He is preparing you. He is making you perfect for the things, for your opportunities, the things that He has in your life for you to do. Does that make sense? You know, the enemy may have thrown some crazy stuff your way. You may have been hurt. You may have been broken physically, emotionally. However, I don't know. Maybe you feel like you took the wrong path in life. Maybe you feel like you have made the biggest mistakes known to man. Maybe you got involved in some things that you wish you hadn't got involved in. There are hundreds of people in this room. There is no way that I know where everybody is in their life or what you've been through or what you're going through right now. But here's what I can tell you. Genesis 50:20. I'm going to give you the Willie translation of this verse. It says, what the enemy meant for harm, God uses for good. What the enemy meant to try to kill you and to try to destroy you, God is going to use that to fulfill His purpose in you. And that's exactly what Paul wrote in Romans 8:28 when he said this. And he said, we know that God causes everything to work together for the good of those who love God and those who are called according to His purpose for them. Everything. Can I tell you today that if you have chosen to follow Christ, you are beautiful. You are beautiful in His eyes. And He is shaping you. And He is forming you. You're a work of art. You are a masterpiece. Listen, I believe with all of my heart that one of the things that God has prepared for me to do, that I am doing right here, right now in this moment, I believe with all of my heart and through the mess and through the experience of my life and through my willingness to be open and honest about it and through the awesome work of the Holy Spirit that today some people are going to be free from some stuff. That today is a day of restoration for some people in here today. Not only that, I believe that today is a day where some of us in this room get really serious about reaching the lost and the broken for Jesus Christ. As Andy said, part of the mission and the vision of this church is to heal the broken. And I think we do a very good job of that. God does a good job through us. I'm a success story. I am. But can I tell you what? There is so much more for us to do. There is so much more for us to do. I don't pretend to know all the answers. I don't pretend to know where you're at in your life. I don't pretend to know everything about God. Most of the time when I open up Scripture and I read God's Word, He hits me with something and I'm like, what? What? Many times I have more questions than I have answers. What I can tell you is this. In this room today, there are people that are hurting. There are people who have overcome hurt. Has anybody overcome anything in here? Yeah. There are people in this room today that are hurting and they don't even know it. And out there are people who are hurting. There are people within the sound of my voice, if I went out and yelled, that are in unimaginable circumstances. that are going through such pain that we can't even fathom what they're going through. There are people in this room today who are just wanting someone to notice them. There's a teenager, I guarantee you, there's a teenager in here right now that's saying, man, does anybody see me? Does anybody care about me? Does anybody love me? There are people in here with addictions that need to be broken. There are relationships that need to be restored. If you are in here this morning, or you're hearing my voice by whatever means, and you are in an abusive relationship, can I tell you that you don't have to stay there? Whatever end of it you're on, today can be your day to be set free. If you have an addiction, today is your day to be set free of those chains that you walked in here with. Today, if you are in here and you have been having suicidal thoughts, can I tell you that I love you? Can I tell you that even more than that, that Jesus loves you? And that there is a God who wants you. And a God who wants to form you for His purposes. I don't know where you guys are this morning in your life, but I've been praying for this day for a long time. These altars are open. This is just wood and carpet and nails and whatever else it's made of, but I believe that right now this is holy ground. I believe that right here and right now this is where we go and we lay down our junk and we hand it over to God and He breaks strongholds. Maybe you don't know about this Jesus thing. Maybe you don't have that relationship with Christ. Don't leave here today without knowing Him, or at least knowing what it's about. Jimmy's going to play for a few minutes, and we're just going to pray. We're just going to go as the Spirit leads. And I invite you to come up to this altar and pray and to lay down whatever it is you need to lay down. If you need to go to someone and restore a relationship, I encourage you to do that. If you need to talk, I'm up here. There are people all around this room that will pray with you and will talk with you and will help you understand what God is trying to do in your life. However God leads, just be obedient. These altars are open. Just look around you. Maybe you're in here this morning and you just feel like you need somebody to see you. Maybe you don't feel like you can make the trip up to the front. Can I just encourage you to look to the person next to you and say, I need somebody to see me. If you don't feel like you have the strength to get up and to walk up here, you can just raise your hand and I'll come to you. altars are going to remain open for as long as they need to remain open. There are some people doing business with God today. Can I tell you that I'm one of them? Don't leave here today. Don't leave here today in those chains that you walked in with. You don't have to. You don't have to. God is inviting you. He is drawing you into that place of intimacy with Him. That place where He wants to set you free. Service down, but these altars are going to remain open, and there are going to be people up here that are going to be able to counsel and to pray and to do whatever we need to do. If you are in an abusive place, we will give you the resources that you need, the first of which is Jesus. Father, we don't understand, again, we just don't understand a lot of things that happen in our life. And God, so many times we don't see what you see. God, I thank you for the privilege of being able to share what you've done in my life. God, I thank you for setting me free from the pain, God, that I had and the stronghold that I had allowed. God, I pray that as we leave this place today, Lord, that you will give us eyes to see the broken people around us. God, that you will give us your eyes. God, that you will give us your love, and you will just speak life into those people. God, and that you will just continue to speak life into us. Lord, because we are everything to you. We are your peace of heart. God, thank you for your love. God, thank you for your grace. God, thank you for your mercy that you have poured out on us. Jesus, we love you. It's in your name that we pray this morning. Amen. We are going to go ahead and dismiss you guys if you want to be dismissed, but these altars are going to remain open for anybody that needs to do any more business. Thank you, guys.